Acts chapter 13. We're going to continue the thought in Acts chapter 13. It isn't good to open the Word of God. I just enjoy opening God's Word and allowing God's Word to work. I don't want to get in the way of God's Word. I don't want to get in the way of God working. And I just enjoy allowing God to use His Word to teach us. Acts chapter 13, what a great chapter this is. This is our first look at the missionaries being sent out, as we covered this morning. We saw that we ought to be praying for our missionaries. And at the end, we didn't have an invitation this morning. All we did was commit. Each of us committed to one or two or three missionaries that we're going to pray for that missionary every day this year. Every day this year, we're going to pray for that missionary. I want you to know we have all of our missionaries covered, that every day this year, Temple Baptist Church will be praying for every missionary. That's exciting. And I'm looking forward to seeing what God has for that and God, what God will do because of that. We're not just supporting missionaries with our finances. We have to be supporting them with our prayers. And by the way, prayers are more powerful than pesos. Amen? They're more powerful. Prayers are more powerful than money. A lot of people look, I need some money. I need some money. But really, if you think about it, you need prayer. A lot of us believe that money will solve all our issues. It won't. In fact, it can cause issues. But prayer is powerful. We looked at that this morning. But now they're sent off, and we see their first confrontation. And I want us to look at this in verse number 4. I just want to see this. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, and we covered this, that they're called by God, sent by the church, okay? So we understand that. Now in verse 4 it says, be sent by the Holy Ghost. What's that talking about? Well, the church sent them out, and now the Holy Ghost is guiding them. Okay, so they're being guided by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Samalis, they preached the word of God. Now, I want you to underline it. Or you may underline that or mark that they preached the word of God. What did they do when they got there? They preached the word of God. Why were they going there to preach the word of God? Did they stay true to the word that what they were going to do? Amen. And we support missionaries. We want them to go to the field, and then we want them to preach the word of God. But watch this. What about here? What are you doing here? What are you doing here in Asheville? We ought to be preaching the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, the son of Joshua is what the name means, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Now, there are people preaching the word of God. There's a deputy here that's desiring the word of God. Does that not sound like an appointment made by God? We call divine appointments. Does that look like God has put this together? Here they are. They've left their homes. They've left their comfort. They've gone to the mission field. They hit the ground running, preaching the word of God, and God just already set somebody up. This wasn't just one person that was just out there, some stranger. This was a deputy. This was a guy with authority, a man with authority, and he was looking and wanted to hear the word of God, wanted to hear what the word of God had to say. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And the deputy, when he saw what was done, did you see that? When he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at Paul's ability. No. Being astonished at what? At the doctrine of the Lord. Now think about that for a second. Let that sink in. It's not about us. It's not about our ability. It's about God. Lord, help us now as we look at this thought of how God used these first missionaries. And be with us now as we speak. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First, I want to look at the people of God. The people of God. God uses people. We have Barnabas. Barnabas, we learned this morning, is a kind man. He was the man that helped Paul in his first time Paul was introduced to the apostles. It was Barnabas that introduced him and helped him. Barnabas was very kind to Saul at that time. And of course we know Saul, who's Saul. Now I'm going to start calling him Paul, okay? See, now we're in that little stage, that transition time, you know? Do I call him Saul? Do I call him Paul? You know, I'm going to start calling him Paul from now on. Is that okay with you? All right, very good. We're going to start calling him Paul. So Paul, and we know who Paul is and who he was. He was someone who persecuted the Christians. And then we see John. John was with them. Now, John wasn't mentioned in the first three verses. But John, I want you to look at verse number 5, and I want you to understand this. And look with me, understand this. There's a word there. And they had also John to their minister. To their minister. What does that mean, to their minister? What is that talking about? That word, to their minister, is a nautical word. Here's what it means. It means a rower. A rower. Now there was Barnabas, a kind individual, caring. He was passionate about preaching the word of God. And there was Paul. I could see Paul. Paul was probably authoritative. We see Paul come out here, and when he speaks to these people, he would speak with authority, and boy, he was authoritative. And then you see John. John was the one in the background. He was the one that was rowing. He was the one that was doing the work. If there needed to be the table needed to be cleaned off, or there the clothes needed to be cleaned, or something needed to be done, John was right there to do it. He had the servant's heart. Let me stop and say this. With God's people, God uses everybody. God wants to use everybody, no matter what your ability is or is not. Think about that with me, because many times we have positions in our church that we look at and we say, well, that's a position of authority or leadership, and everybody wants that position. That's not how it works. God puts us in a place where he wants to use us, and we ought to have the thought or the mindset of being used by God where he places us. Where he places us. And John was here being used by God exactly where he placed, or exactly where they placed him. He was a minute, he was the one that was doing all the dirt, the rowing, the grunt work. We see the people of God. Now I'm going to stop here and I'm going to do something really different. We're the people of God, right? If you're saved, that means you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Here's what that means. That means I'm not counting on good works. I'm not counting on being good. When I get to heaven, there's no scale that says, okay, Patrick Creed, is he doing more bad than good? Let me tell you something. The scale is going to be all the way down on the bad if that's the case. I can't win that way. But Jesus Christ died for me, and he died for you, that I don't have to go through that. He tipped the scales, amen. His righteousness for me. And all I had to do was accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And when that happened, I became a child of God, a person of God. When we say the people of God, someone that is saved, someone that has made that decision. Here's the decision. You either accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior or you reject God. There are people that say, well, I believe in God, but they don't trust in God. They don't put their faith and trust in God. And there's a difference between me saying, I believe that chair can hold me up, and me sitting in that chair. Let me understand that difference. Yeah. Some of you believe that chair is not going to hold me up. But salvation is key. We have a microphone here, and I've got Marty Jr. helping me out with this. If you have a testimony of witnessing, maybe it's the past month, 2 months, a couple weeks, but you have a testimony of God using you, and you've been used by God in the last couple weeks or couple months. We haven't done this in a while, so it may have added up. But I want you to think about that and give a couple minutes of giving testimonies, just God's people giving testimonies of God using us as God's people. Anybody? Anybody at all? We have one over here, Thomas.
Thursday, after the teachers' convention on Thursday, I left to go back to the hotel and decided to get some lunch on my way there. I ate Dairy Queen. It was a good meal, chicken strip basket. Anyways, not the point. I was sitting there by myself because she was at the hotel, and an older couple came up and sat at the table next to mine, and I asked them where they were from. They said they were from Greenville, South Carolina. I said, oh, that's neat. So I asked them if they had a church that they went to. It took the lady a couple seconds to think of the name of the church, so I kind of figured maybe they may not go to church anywhere. But she listed a church, and so I didn't get a chance to really give the gospel to them or anything like that. But before I left, I went out to the car and got a tract and brought it back into them and gave it to them. And she was very kind and grateful for me giving that to her. So, you know, not a full testimony of being able to lead someone to the Lord, but
sure.
I pray that, you know, that track will work in their hearts and they'll read it and get saved.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Maybe you went to the fair and had an encounter at the fair. Miss Jane.
I had Amazing Grace Ministries. I was able, the Lord brought Angel and Crystal, two teenagers, 16 and 19, I think it was, who wanted to receive the Lord, and they did. And I had prayed before I went, because I'm getting older, and I want my life to count for eternity, and I'm not doing as well as I should. And I had prayed that the Lord would bring somebody that I could share with, and he did.
Amen. How many of you went to the fair and passed out tracts and preach the gospel? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes.
This was probably like about a month and a half ago. I went for a vein procedure, and I was sitting out in the lobby, and this huge man was sitting beside me, and he was very talkative and stuff. I thought, okay. He was telling me about, you know, how he'd almost been killed 3 times, and this and that. He just sounded like he had an awful life. And I said, you know what? I said, I think the Lord put you here about me today, as I wanted to tell you about my salvation. And I said, you know, if you've already had three experiences where you almost lost your life, I need to tell you about Jesus. Amen. And it was just so easy. It's just like the Lord had just put him there. And I just opened up and shared with him like he was my best friend. You know, it was just so easy to talk to. And I just shared with him whether he got saved, I don't know. But he went out of there at least knowing the plan of salvation and knowing Amen. How to be saved. So I just pray he was.
Amen. Great job. Amen. Anybody else? But Mel. Hey, 5 minutes, limit, okay?
Is that all?
Yeah.
I find in my daily living that it's always a witness to someone in some manner. If I live for the Lord and talk to people about the Lord, they may respond. Some of them do, some of them don't. But what I do in their presence and what I say to them has more influence than what I try to put pressure on them to make a decision. I have a lady that I've been witnessing to now for probably 3 months. And little by little, I can see a growth in her, whether she's saved or not. She says she is saved. But she had no experience in serving God or even attending church. But we live among a people, for the most part, are lost as they can be. And what we need to do, rather than what we say, is the way we react and act in their presence. And so I attempt to be that witness every day to everyone that I come in contact with. I know that I fail often, but God is always still on the throne, and he can take anything and use it for his glory.
Amen.
So it's a daily life that we live that's important.
Does everybody understand what he's talking about? And so that thought of people watching you, you can eliminate someone's opportunity to get saved by what you do. On the other hand, the way you live prepares you for that moment when you get to talk to them about salvation. And it's wonderful, the relationship soul winning, and it's wonderful. Now, we have all time, we introduce ourselves to people, we give them a track, and you know, there are a lot of times when I, as a pastor, I see people and I see them hurting, I give them a track, and I don't ask them, are you going to hell when you die? What I ask them is, I'm Pastor Creed. If you need any help, let me know. I'd love for you to come talk to me. And so sometimes I just leave it at that. But that building a relationship with people, it's important. Yes, Ms. Shields. Now wait a minute. We got the microphone. You gotta.
Recently, we had a birthday party for Christian up at the gym, and my girlfriend came with her children and her husband, and had a great time. Then she came again for David's birthday. She was just so impressed by the children, the school, the church, everyone that it belongs to the school and church, and she was asking lots of questions about how much the tuition is and when is our services, all because of meeting the church folk and the children. Made her interested in private school.
Amen. Amen. And with that, your spirit with people, the way you present yourself, the way you look at people, we'd be conscious about the way we look at people. That's something. I mean, somebody comes in, you look at them like this, you know? So just the way our demeanors, it's a witness for Christ. One in the back, Drew.
So you all have met Scully, and he's been here numbers of times, and Jerry was here once, and that was a few months ago, but it's been a blessing seeing them grow. Scully and I have been going through the First Steps book by Paul Chappell. We did a chapter of that at lunch today. And he's really understanding, and it's good to see him grow. And then Jerry, he loves to tell his coworkers how a few months ago his life did a 180, And he said he talks about how he was in depression all the time and constantly had nervous breakdowns and things. And ever since then, he just feels so much more confident. And one day he called me up and he said, "Hey man, you got to talk to this trainee that I'm training." I was talking to him about Jesus, and he doesn't believe in Jesus and all. And you got to talk to him. And you know, I keep getting more and more opportunities to share with my coworkers, and nobody's come to know the Lord since Skelly and Jerry, but they all have heard it, every single one of them. And I consider it an honor and a blessing to be able to share the gospel with my coworkers. And
Amen.
I thank the Lord for those opportunities.
Amen. And the people of God here in Acts, thank you, Marty, the people of God here in Acts chapter 13, watch this. All they were obedient to God. That's it. You know, we don't have to worry if someone doesn't like us, if someone hates us, if the Citizen Times write about us. It shouldn't bother us, because all we're doing is obeying God. We're obeying God. That's what we're doing. And that's what these people of God were doing. And all of a sudden, here comes persecution. Now I want you to get what happens here. So a deputy says, "I want to know more about this God. I want to hear about this gospel. I want to know how to be saved." And here shows up these three men, and they're about to tell this man how to be saved, and a sorcerer comes up. Look at verse number 8, Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name, interpretation, withstood them. Now watch what he was doing, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Now I want you to see what happens here. Just like we saw testimonies tonight, or we heard testimonies tonight of people of God presenting the gospel, we learned that your walk can preach the gospel. Your talk can preach the gospel. Now your walk sets up your talk. And what a great honor it is that when someone says, "I've seen the way you've acted, I want to know what's your secret. What's going on in your life? Why are you the way you are? You didn't get mad in that situation. Boy, I would have blown a top. What happened?" And you get to tell them about Jesus. And this man may have seen these men or known what's going on, and he says, "I want to know that. I want to be part of that. What's going on in their lives?" And someone is trying to override or turn away this person from trusting Christ. The phrase here, to turn away the deputy from his faith. I want you to know, there are a lot of things, there are a lot of avenues, there's a lot of people in Asheville and in our communities trying to turn people away. How many of you would agree with me? Yes. Do we hate them? No. Should we love them? The Bible tells us to love our enemies. I wish they'd get saved. I wish they'd accept Christ as a personal Savior. Now, what do we do? When that happens, what do we do? What did Paul do? I want you to know, Paul was courageous. Paul was courageous. We don't cower. Why don't we cower to people that preach against the Word of God? Why don't we cower to people that threaten us, Pastor Creed? Why? Because greater is He that is in you than he is in the world. Why? Because we stand on a strong foundation. That's the Word of God. We have the truth. We have the facts. And we're obeying an almighty God that wants to protect us, that wants to take care of us. There's no room, there's no need for cowering. Paul didn't cower. He was courageous. But I want you to see the power of God. Then Saul, who was also in verse 9, also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the ways of the Lord? He tells him, stop. Won't you stop? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Now what happened here was a miracle. What happened here, watch this, this is a sign gift of miracles, and this is what Paul did. Now, what were the sign gifts for? Yes, they, and guess what they did? They showed people the power of God. This man believed God. He saw the doctrine of God. He saw the power of God, and he trusted in God. What the sign gifts were for is exactly what our Bible is for now. Because that which is perfect has come. We have now the Word of God. Those gifts are gone away. We now have God's Word. We now have the complete canon of Scripture. We don't have to go over to somebody and poke their eyes out. Don't do that. Well, we have the sword of the Lord. This sword of the Lord, by the way, is not a self-defense. It's a Savior defense. It's a sign. It's something to show others kindly the gospel. The power of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Let's go there. Romans chapter 1. Many of you have memorized this scripture, this verse. But Romans chapter 1. And later on in this verse, he deals with homosexuality and pervertedness. But I want you to see in verse 16, he looks in verse 16, he says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Pastor Creed, what happens when people make fun of me? What happens when people threaten me? What happens when people are aggressive toward me because I am preaching the gospel? What happens? You keep preaching the gospel. You use Scripture. If God be for us, who could be against us? When you're in obedience to God, we have the power of God. Without the power of God, we can do nothing. But with the power of God, we can conquer this city for Christ. And the only way we're going to get the power of God is through the Word of God and obeying this Word. We're not going to fight people by going online and debating them. We don't fight people by that. That's not my calling. I don't see that in here, do you? What I see is people of God preaching the Word of God and the power of God coming through. Can that happen here? Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't get down and discouraged because someone's going to attack you. It's going to happen. Why is it going to happen? Because we're doing what God wants us to do. And there's a lot of people that don't like that. They don't like that. But when you do what God wants you to do and your obedience to God and you're doing something for God, people are going to take notice and you're putting a target on yourself. Challenge tonight. The Pastor Greg, what are you challenging us with? Very simple. In Acts, you can't get away from it. While preaching through Acts, you're not going to hide from it. Preach the Word of God. Be courageous. Be courageous. Don't be a coward when it comes to preaching the Word of God. Don't cower to somebody or to something. Listen, God, you're an ambassador of Christ. There's the challenge to be courageous in preaching the Word of God. What happens at the end? Now when Paul, in verse 12, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, he believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. I alluded to this before. He wasn't astonished at the abilities of a man. He wasn't astonished at the actions of a man or the attitude of a man. He was astonished at the truths of God. That's what the doctrines mean, truths. Okay, watch this, and I want to be very clear tonight. Many of you are going to start discipling people one-on-one. You say, why is that? Because that's what we're going to do. We're a church, aren't we? We ought to be discipling. Well, Pastor Creed, that's your job. No, that's our job. That's our job. It's everybody's job. If you're a Christian, you ought to be a disciple making disciples. But I want you to understand something here. You see the word doctrine there. He was astonished at the doctrine. Watch this. Preferences is not part of discipleship. Did you hear me? Preferences. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with preferences. You having your preference on whether to wear a tie to church or not to wear a tie to church. That's your preference. You with me? But that doesn't belong in discipling another person. He was astonished at the doctrine of God, not the preferences of man, not the abilities of man, not the actions of man. And so when we're preaching the Word of God, we're not preaching men. We're preaching God. Let's get to the Word of God. Let's lift God up. Let's lift Jesus up. And let's preach Him.